What's up, my peeps? This is our podcast, Lessons from the Sun. I'm Nina Riccardi, and I'm the sun.
And I'm Tony Riccardi, his pops. We're here to share our personal conversations with you. We'll dive into lessons we learned within sports and our everyday life.
Or crack some jokes and have some fun. And you'll get to hear how much I bust my father's chops.
Hey, listen, we're close, but I'm still your father.
All right, pops, I get it. Now let's get into today's episode. And welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Sun. I'm Nina Riccardi.
And I'm Pops.
And what are you going to be talking about today, Pops?
I'd love to know. Since you came up with the topic, why don't you break it down for us?
Okay, so we will be talking about how it's important to set goals for an upcoming season or school year.
Okay, sounds like a very good topic idea.
Yes.
All right, well, goals. And I think we need to examine goals in a broader perspective, not maybe like the definitive way that, or the traditional way that goals have been set. Let's talk about the difference between, first of all, process goals and result goals.
So a process goal is basically like a factory. Let's say in the factory, they're making glass containers. So it's like, I don't know, of course, how a glass container is made. So it's like, first this step, then this step, then this step, then this step, then put in bubble wrap, and then you got your final product, the actual glass. The glass is the end goal or the result goal. And all the steps leading up to it is the process goals.
Okay. Okay.
Does that sound about right?
That's a good start. Yes, that's a very good start. I like the way you're thinking about it. All right. So let's shift it. All right, let's shift it towards something that's more real time. What scenario? What example do you want to use in something that's in your life or in the life of a young athlete?
I don't know.
All right, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's talk about baseball then.
Oh, I remember now.
All right.
Okay, so a way that it's like in real life, it's gonna be the process goals are like. For, let's say, a baseball team.
All right.
Oh.
I just wanted an example so I can go down it. Baseball, okay?
Okay. Oh, you just wanted an example.
Yeah. What's the...
Oh, I thought you were talking about,
So we're talking about baseball.
Okay, yes.
All right.
Just like you said, but I thought you were going to talk about, like, well, let's talk about baseball. What happened today with the Mets? Or, like...
Got it.
That's what I meant, like...
So a result goal is, all right, you want to... Let's say you want to win 10 games, just for argument's sake.
Okay.
That's a result goal. But the process goal is, what are you going to do
to win those games?
What are you going to do to achieve your goals? So
win a game, then like that? Or is it like practicing and like...
Yes. Okay, I'm going to practice... You know, 4 times a week. So that's a process goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to practice 4 times in a week. And then in that practice, I'm going to make sure I throw, 10 pitches of practice. All right? I'm just using that as an example.
10's your word today.
And then out of those 10, and these are not real examples. I'm just trying to give you an idea. And then in those 10 pitches that I throw, I'm going to try and throw... 7 for strikes.
Okay.
Out of 10. Those are all process goals. And we hope that if we do those things, those three things, practice 4 times, throw 10 pitches each practice, and throw 7 strikes out of 10.
That's gonna...
God bless you, Pops. Thank you, Nina.
I thought it was fake.
Just no, it was real.
Bless you.
And so... That's the process goal, and we hope that it results into 10 wins.
Yes.
And so
I don't know how that would happen, but...
And that's the example of how to differentiate between the process. This is the process that you believe you need to take, and a result goal.
Yes.
So that's an important part, is to make sure that you, in my opinion, you should have way more process goals
than you should had long term.
Then you should have result goals.
Result goals. Okay. Same thing.
And the idea is this, it could be as simple as this. I'm going to make sure I improve my speed to first base from one week to the next.
Yes.
So
that's the end goal. That's
actually a result goal, right?
That's the result goal.
So what do you need to do to improve your speed to first base?
Run a lot.
Right, but break it down into three other process goals to improve your speed to first base.
Do like a bunch of like running way farther than that to try to get the same speed.
Okay, so you're gonna run double
the length. So you're gonna run to second base with trying to get more speed, and that's gonna endure your stamina, which is gonna help just gonna go first.
How many times a week are you gonna do that?
7 times a week.
And how many times are you gonna do it a day if you're doing it 7 times a week?
You're gonna do it 3 times a day.
3 times a day.
So you're gonna do it 21 times.
Right, so that's the process goal. Just actually doing it, even if it doesn't result in a change, you're reaching your goal.
Yes.
So,
or at least you're trying to.
All right, so before you set your goals, you have to understand the difference between the process and the result goals.
Yes. So, well, I don't want to go into a confusing rabbit hole, but really quick, running 7 times a week is a result goal. And to run 7 times a week, you need to find time, and then finding time will be a risk.
Yes, it's true. Yes,
but it goes on and on and on.
But just the fact that you're planning and you're making a goal puts you way ahead, right?
Yes.
So
not way ahead, but if everyone's listening to the podcast and doing the same thing, then not way ahead, but still.
Well, that's assuming everybody does. It's easy to listen. It's easy to say that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. What's the hard part?
Actually doing it.
And how do you know I know this? Because I don't know you know this. Because you can look in America. And you can see how many obese people there are. And the obese people obviously know what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Right?
But they just don't do it.
Right. They know what need to be done. But there are other parts besides just doing it that need it. There's also the mental health part that you need.
Yeah.
You know, there's
physical health.
And that's the same thing for your goals.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about an actual goal for, you know, improving your speed at first base.
Yes.
To first base. So that's a personal goal. Then if you're an athlete, you may have won a team goal.
Like 10 wins in a season.
10 wins in a season. So if you have
15 wins.
If you have this team goal, how can you personally impact your team goal?
By practicing on your own.
Yes, absolutely, by practicing on your own.
Getting to practice early.
And practice early.
And doing stuff that you do not feel comfortable with.
Okay, like, I like that. Maybe, break that down for me.
Let's say you don't like getting the ball close to you inside when you're hitting. Then ask someone to throw it inside to you so you could hit it.
Wow, that's really
interesting. You need to do stuff that you don't feel comfortable with. Because if, like, you're in, like, a championship game, and a ball comes here, and it's called to be a strike, and you just make the team lose, then, like, how bad are you going to feel?
That's really insightful.
Yes.
You may still fail.
You may still fail, but it's just like striking out. It's better striking out swinging.
And you know you were prepared.
Yes.
That you practiced it. It's something that you weren't comfortable with.
Yes.
That's really good. That's very insightful. Practicing something that you're not comfortable with. It's good stuff.
It is. I always have good stuff.
And you're so humble also.
I know, right?
All right. So let's talk about the goals that involve the interpersonal aspect of the team, of the game. Of being an athlete. So let's assume we're playing a team sport.
Okay. Like,
are there any other goals that have to do with like your team goals or your kind of like relationship goals? That sounds weird, but
yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't mean it like a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, like, he means being like more friendly with your teammates. Of course, he's not saying, like, be best friends with your teammates. Not just, like, but don't be, like, ugh.
Right. So, well, helping to recognize really strong achievements by your teammates helps do what for them?
Helps motivate them and get them up.
Great. So, your teammate, Tony, makes a great play. How do you handle it?
Good job, Tony. That was a nice play.
And what do you think that does for Tony?
That makes him feel really good inside. And also, Tony's might say to... give me a random name.
Joe.
To Joe, like, that was a really good play, Joe. And then it goes on and on like that. But also... Oh, wait. Did you...
Well, it's about setting the vibe for the team, right?
Yes.
So that's a teammate goal also. Yes. And it's a relationship goal.
Yes, too.
It doesn't mean you're like, you know, hanging out every day with your teammates.
No.
You know, besides practice. Yeah. But you can.
You are hanging out every day with your teammates. But it's three times a week.
But it's a way you can impact the team.
Yes.
Now, my question to you is this. Let's say you don't have teammates that are doing that for some reason. You don't have... You. So, I'm Tony. I'm a player. And I make a bad play, me, Tony, and I don't have someone that's there to lift me up. What's a way to help that situation?
And I'm Tony.
Yeah, I'm Tony.
I'm Tony.
You're Tony.
No, I'm Tony. Okay, so like, it's all right. Just move on. Come on.
Pump yourself up.
Yeah.
Like, you'll make the next one.
Yeah, I'll make the next one.
Imagine what your best teammate would tell you. Imagine what your teammate, what you would say to your teammate, say that to yourself.
Mm-hmm. So that's another really good insight.
Thanks.
Not normally, but.
Okay.
Well, he's getting wiser as he's getting older. What are you now, like 90?
So, goals.
Goals.
There are also other types of goals, which are based on your temperament, right? So.
Temper? Like your temper?
Your temperament. Temperament. Like.
So, temper and mint.
Right. So if you're like, let's say Jeff McNeil on the Mets, he's a guy that gets mad every time, right?
Imagine if he's hearing this.
Well, there might be some goals that he has, right? To just try to keep his composure sometimes.
Yeah, he's been doing better with that. Last season he was.
He still gets hot, but you know. But in the end, it really comes down to what you're doing on the field or what you're doing on the court or what you're doing in the classroom.
Yes, or on the...
On the ice or on the stage if you're a musician or an actor.
Okay.
So that leads us to why are goals important before your season starts, before your school semester starts? Why are goals important?
Finally, we're talking about the title that has been going for around 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, finally, we get to talk about it. Okay. So it's important to set goals because it's good.
Okay. That's very insightful.
I know, right? I'm so wise. Okay, just kidding, but you just cracked.
Why are goals important?
So goals are important to set for yourself to like set a new standard. Okay. So like, let's say last season, I only caught 300 of the 500 balls hit to me.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to set a goal to catch 400 of the 500 balls that are hit to me.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. So why is that important?
It's important because you need to have something new that you got to look for.
Okay.
I mean, at least personally, I don't want the same thing over and over and over again.
Right. So it's a way.
Especially if you're losing. If you're winning, then you just got to make the goals higher.
Okay. I like that.
And sometimes, let's say I only caught 200, like, I caught, like, none of the balls that were hit to me. Then you got to try to get a goal for hitting or else you're going to be on the bench.
Well, all right. So goals are important because they track what?
Skills and learning abilities.
Right. And
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yep. Your skills. And it also, your goals also help you track your improvement.
Improvement. Right. I was going to say that.
And if for some reason you're not improving,
then
it allows you to do what?
To learn and to fix.
to learn and make changes.
Yes, exactly. To fix.
Because that's, it's the way to evaluate yourself. Now, obviously, team wins are a good way, but having your goals, if you, setting your goals, doesn't mean that you have to have the highest batting average. It could be just you're taking good swings. My goal is to always take good swings.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a statistic. It doesn't have to be a win. It has to be what's important to you.
Yes.
But it
besides
also,
winning.
The goal, making it or not, helps you determine whether you're improving or
not improving.
Standing still.
Yes.
So that's why one reason goals are important.
Yes.
Another reason why goals are important is because it helps you to look back. And if you're improving, let's say you didn't make your goal of being an all-star and winning a championship. If you have other goals besides that, it helps you look back and feel good about the season to know I made at least 3 out of 5 of my goals.
Like something to fall back on.
Well, it's something that's within your control.
Yes.
More within your control. Right? Because
going to the championship is a whole team scenario. Like, when A-Rod was on the Seattle Mariners,
mm-hmm.
he was better than Derek Jeter, but his team wasn't better. So that's the difference.
And so he had to set goals to help him feel good about it.
Yes.
And
as good as he could be.
Right. Right. So that's a big important reason why goals are important, to help you evaluate your progress in something, in school.
And
or
work.
On the field, or work, and the part that you can control. And hopefully if you do your part, and if everyone's setting their goals, then you can work towards a common goal.
Which
as
is?
As a team, of winning.
Of winning. Oh, that's good.
Now, one last question for you. It would be, if you make big goals, is it good to just have one big, let's say you have 5 long-term goals.
Can you give me an example?
Yes. You want to, as a team, you want to win 10 games. As an individual, you want to get 20 hits. As an individual, you want to get 20 strikeouts. And as an individual, you want to make 90% of your chances in the field. All right? Those are your long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good to just leave it at long-term goals?
No, it's not.
Why?
You also got to have day-by-day goals too.
Okay, day-by-day goals. Why are those long-term goals? Why is it good just to have
I'm not saying long-term goals are bad.
Right.
But you also need to have some goals that are like shorter, just like not about baseball. Waking up and saying hi to your family every day.
Okay.
That's not going to be like waking up and saying hi to your family every year. No.
Right. Well, to achieve your long-term goals that I just outlined, give me some ideas of some other goals that you would need to achieve those long-term goals.
Probably like short goals, just playing your part in the team as it is. Like,
yes.
Just like... Going to practice.
Going to practice.
So getting there early.
Let's be more concrete. So getting there early, yes, to do extra work.
Yes.
So maybe your goal is to make sure you're early. You know, if you have 4 practices, to get there early, at least 3 out of 4 practice. So that's a weekly goal, right?
That's like a short term.
Right. And so then in those practices, in that week, you want to achieve something.
Which would be catch 90% of balls all hit to me this 4 days.
In the practice.
In the practice.
Okay, so that's the weekly goal. And then in one practice.
You gotta say, catch 90% of all balls hit to me. Still.
Okay.
In the practice.
Okay.
And throw at least 10 of 15 to be strikes.
Okay, so you start with a season goal, and then you back your way into like a weekly goal, and then you start and then do a practice goal. But
yes.
Does that mean that each time you keep going up in the goal? In other words, that it just goes, okay, you go from 5 to 7 to 8 to 11 to 20, Does that mean that it's just a straight line like that? Like going diagonal?
No. It's like kind of like the stock market. It's like, it's good for a while, down, up, down, up, down.
There are ups and downs.
Guys, on the video, you'll be able to see that.
So there are weeks where you may have a setback.
Yes, and you'll be here. But there's some weeks where it's like...
Here.
There.
And that's baseball. I mean, really.
Yeah, it's like... it's baseball. And it's basically anything you do.
Right. It's the long term. You have to evaluate the long term versus the short term.
Even at just sitting on the couch watching the news. Some days the news you'll like and other days the news you won't like.
Right. So when you're trying to reach your long-term goals, it makes sense to break them down.
It's too shorter.
Right. Okay. So that's why it's important, because it gives you motivation each time you go to your practice to give your best.
Yes.
If you're going to the gym and you want to lift 200 pounds, then you know that you have to start with 100 and go to 125 and 150.
All the way up to 200.
Exactly. So I'd say goals are pretty important for most anything you do, whether it be an athletic season, financial, or career. But in particular, the process of setting goals is pretty tricky.
Yes.
Because we tend to focus on those long-term goals and those measurable goals.
And that's easy. Like, just like get 90 hits, get 100 strikeouts.
Right.
No, like, I mean striking out people, not.
Yes.
Like getting the most RBIs on the team, winning the championship, going to the All-Star. Those are easy goals to make. But then the ones that day by day are more hard. Just like get 80% of balls all hit to me. Throw 10 strikeouts. Hit the ball at least 85% of all times.
Mm-hmm. And how about this? How about this for the simplest goal? At the end of each practice, if you have 4 practices in that week or 3 practices in that week, you ask yourself, did I work my hardest today? And try and get 100% on that each week. And if you worked your hardest, then that's already another goal that you achieved. So you can look at it each week and say, all right, I worked hard every practice. It's not easy to do.
No.
But it's something that you can mentally prepare going into the practice.
Yes.
That I gave it my all. So that's even simple, the most simple thing. It doesn't even have to be 80% of balls caught, or it can be,
what?
Did I give my best in this practice every time I went to practice in the three days a week?
Yes.
You know, and ask yourself. You have to be honest with yourself.
Yes.
So.
You do.
So that's why goal setting is important. I'm sure that we can get some additional ideas from our listeners out there. So I hope you guys share them with us on the Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And?
Do you have any other ideas, comments, questions, plugs, anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, on a side note for all the Mets fans, today, the day that we did the podcast, Wednesday the 3rd of August, August 2nd, DeGrom pitched.
DeGrom came back after over a year.
391 days, I think.
Wow. And is there any relevance
to that? Don't quote me on that.
Any relevance to that for you?
What do you mean, any relevance?
What does that mean to you, that DeGrom pitched? You're bringing it up, so I want to know what it means to you.
Oh, it's like, that's so good. Like, it's so good.
It's so good that he pitched.
Yes, and he pitched well, too.
He pitched well. Did he win the game?
Yes. No.
He did not.
But the closers had a big part in that.
He gave up one run, DeGrom, and then Lindor hit a home run to tie it up.
Yeah.
But then the relievers gave up a bunch of runs and it was out of hand.
Yes, they should have let Edwin Diaz pitch.
So is that within DeGrom's control?
No, it's not.
Did he do everything he can to try and win the game?
Yes.
So that's a perfect example.
Of a professional.
A professional. Since we're talking about the Mets, did you hear that where Lindor had been hit by that pitcher Steve Cishek?
Yes.
And he said that he was scared when he was facing him?
Yeah, only people who watch SNY saw that.
Yeah, that was interesting to hear a professional say that.
Yes, it is.
And then Keith Hernandez said what?
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
Of course. Keith Hernandez is Keith Hernandez.
What would Lindor's motivation be for saying that, that he is scared?
What do you mean his motivation?
Why would Lindor say he was scared and Keith Hernandez says, I don't believe it?
Because Keith Hernandez is crazy?
Maybe Keith Hernandez thought like Lindor was being a little dramatic. Or maybe Keith Hernandez thought that he used the wrong word. Because then he went to say, maybe apprehensive. Because Keith Hernandez was like, I think more like, you know...
Or maybe the news person put the wrong word.
No, I think Lindor said the word.
Oh.
But it's funny how you take one professional that says it, and then another professional that played. He said, and Keith Hernandez's reasoning for saying there's no way he was scared is because he wouldn't have been able to hit the ball the way he did over the fence.
Yeah.
But maybe he was. So I'm going to disagree with Keith Hernandez on this. Maybe Lindor was scared.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, he just overcame the fear.
Yes.
So maybe they just, their definitions of it is different. Yeah.
Well, may never know.
Well, for all you baseball players out there that are listening, amazing that a professional baseball player with a 10-year, $30 million contract said he was scared, but he overcame it.
Yes.
So there's hope for all of you. You want to wrap us up?
No.
Okay. In that case?
Yes, I do.
Let's do it.
Thanks so much for listening and have a good day.
Peace out, everybody.
Peace. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thanks for listening. Now, please do us a solid and hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, follow our Insta, and if you don't mind, give us a 5-star review.
Hook up my homeboy and help us continue to grow, please. Peace out.